Now, the many voices we're hearing from the war include a spokesman for Hamas. His name is Ghazi Hamad, and he came on the line from a location that he preferred not to specify, though he said he was in Gaza, which Hamas governs. The U.S. and the European Union label Hamas a terror group. I asked him what the group had hoped to accomplish with its surprise attack on Israel that killed many civilians.
We want to get the attention of the world. Please look to the Palestinians. We are under oppression and torture and collective punishment all the time. This is our message to the world.
If I can, you certainly got the attention of the world, but these are the headlines that people are seeing. As reported on NPR now, Hamas attacked a concert, chased young people into a bomb shelter, threw grenades in, then came in shooting and took hostages. This is one of many incidents involving unarmed civilians.
100%. This is a fake story. This is a fake story, 100%.
Ghazi Hamad repeatedly denied that Hamas ever targeted civilians, although the attackers did kill civilians, as we hear from a survivor elsewhere on today's Morning Edition. And Hamas is holding civilian hostages right now. When we asked about them, the Hamas spokesman brought up Israel's conduct.
Every day, they provoke the Palestinians. Every day. And you expect from us as a Palestinian to be polite and to throw flowers on the soldiers and tanks who are killing us? What do you expect from the Palestinians to do?
The young people, including children who've been taken hostage, did they do this to you?
Look, as I told you, as human beings, we, even the hostages, we give him good protection, good shelter, good, all they need.
Well, what they need is to be released. Would you release them?
Okay, but it is a war now. First, our priority now is to stop aggression and death on Gaza. We want to stop this. After that, we can talk about anything. But I think we have to stop.
In our conversation, Hamad was more concerned with Palestinian civilians to whom Israel has cut off food, water, and electricity, even as its forces drop bombs.
Why was this against the civilians? Because you could not reach the fighters, the military brigades. So you pour your anger, your frustration, your retaliation on the civilians. These people are brutal.
Israel, as you know very well, called upon civilians to leave the northern section of Gaza. More than 1 million people were told to move. And I have a news dispatch here from the Associated Press, which says the following. Hamas called the evacuation order psychological warfare aimed at breaking Palestinian solidarity and urged people to stay. Are you, in fact, urging people to remain in the war zone?
We will not allow for a new Nakba for the Palestinians.
Nakba, that's an Arabic word meaning catastrophe, which is what Palestinians call their mass displacement during the creation of the State of Israel.
We have a first Nakba in 1948 when Israel expelled more than 500,000 Palestinians from their villages and cities, and they built their state on the skulls and the blood of Palestinians. Now we want to stay at our home. We ask our people to stay there, yes.
So I'd like to know if you're also preventing people from fleeing.
We want people to stay, yes.
If you are telling people to stay because you think that Israel wants to take the land, are you effectively using civilians as human shields, which is a charge that Israel often makes?
No, never. No. This is our brothers, our mothers, our sisters, our family. How can we could use them as a shield?
You're telling them to stay.
To prevent. To stand against the Israeli evacuation.
Hamad repeatedly talked of a 75-year occupation, which is a reference to the existence of Israel itself. His group's goal remains erasing it.
Israel is making troubles and problems and dilemma and tragedies in this region every day. They have disputes with all countries here. They could not be a good neighbor here. We want to liberate the whole Palestine. That's right, because Israel has no right to exist in this region.
I want to ask about a much more limited goal, if I can. What efforts is Hamas able to make in the situation that exists today to alleviate even slightly the suffering of the Palestinian people that you govern?
Look, we are doing hard effort with different countries, with the Egyptians, with the Qatari, with the Turkish, with Iranian, with different people in order to see how to save our people in Gaza. So we are working day and night. But you know that most of the countries, this world is full of hypocrisy, that they just are giving some sweet words and some good statements, but nothing is done on the ground. They let Israel to do what they want. They give Israel, especially United States, they give Israel a green light, please go to Gaza, kill people, destroy homes, destroy Hamas. But Hamas will stay here. Hamas will continue to fight against the occupation.
Ghazi Hamad, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
NPR's Greg Myrie was listening to the Hamas spokesman along with us. Greg has spent 7 years covering the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, has covered the region for many more years than that, has spoken with many Hamas leaders. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
What comments jumped out at you from that interview?
Well, the key line for me was when he said, quote, Israel has no right to exist in this region. Now, this has been a fundamental tenet of Hamas since the group was founded back in 1987. The group has always taken this extreme position and continues to embrace it. You know, I have had, as you mentioned, many conversations with Hamas leaders and members, and they tend to follow this pattern. They often begin talking about resistance to Israel and obtaining Palestinian rights. But when you press them, Hamas leaders almost always say that Israel simply shouldn't exist.
And the Palestinians, of course, emphasize that the history is important here, that the attack the other day didn't come out of nowhere. They say that Israel has taken what they view as Palestinian land, but there's also a history of Hamas. What's the group's evolution?
Yeah, Steve, I think you could look at it in sort of three stages. In the first was in the 90s and the early 2000s, and Hamas was a spoiler group. It was the smaller number two Palestinian faction behind Fatah. It rejected negotiations at that time with Israel and would unleash suicide bombings, specifically targeting civilians on buses, restaurants, nightclubs, really intended to undermine the peace talks at that time. And then the second stage was after 2006, when they won the Palestinian elections, and then they took full control of Gaza in a bloody fight with their Palestinian rivals. And now we appear to enter this new phase with Hamas unleashing this most devastating attack ever against Israel, and it bolsters their status among some Palestinians, but it hasn't translated into benefits for the Palestinian people in Gaza, who now face this major Israeli military operation.
A little bit of context from NPR's Greg Myrie. Greg, thanks as always for your insights.
Sure thing, Steve.